Britain.
Royal Mail. Blame the messenger. Part privatisation of an ailing business will test an ailing government's strength.
Where Margaret Thatcher feared to tread, Peter Mandelson is rushing in headlong. The Tory Prime Minister, so keen to sell off nationalised industries, drew the line at Royal Mail, reputedly because its stamps bore the Queen's head. Labour's business secretary does not share that quixotic attachment to a wholly publicly owned postal service, not least because it is now in such bad shape. In a bill published on February 26th, Lord Mandelson set out proposals to sell a minority stake in Royal Mail to a private operator. The argument for the plan is straightforward. The business is facing increased competition, even as the postal market buckles because of email and text messaging. Adam Crozier, the chief executive of Royal Mail, told a committee of MPs on February 24th that mail volumes would shrink by 8% in the year starting this April, pushing down revenue by £560 million. Lord Mandelson believes that a private partner will inject not just extra resources, but also the know-how needed to turn the business round. The scope for improvement is clear. Nigel Stapleton, the chairman of Postcom, which regulates the business, a role that will pass to Ofcom, said this week that Royal Mail was about 40% less efficient than the best operators. One European company that has already expressed its interest in entering into a strategic partnership with Royal Mail is TNT. The Dutch postal firm is, like Royal Mail, responsible for providing a universal service at home. But unlike its British counterpart, it has long been run as a private rather than a public company, and it has extensive international as well as domestic operations. One hurdle to any deal would be Royal Mail's pension scheme, which is awash in red ink. The deficit in the plan, estimated at close to £6 billion a year ago, is now expected to reach between £8 billion and £9 billion this March. No private operator will venture near that crippling liability, which the government will have to shoulder. But the bigger obstacle will be political. Postal workers have already staged a protest in Westminster, and trade unions are up in arms. More potent still, over 130 Labour MPs have declared their opposition. If they match intent with deed, this would be easily the biggest rebellion Gordon Brown has faced since becoming Prime Minister in 2007, approaching the 139 Labour MPs who voted against Tony Blair over the Iraq War in 2003. Anything involving privatisation or promoting market forces in public services has tended to be particularly fissile with backbenchers, points out Philip Cowley of Nottingham University, a chronicler of Labour revolts. Backbenchers are especially vexed that at a time when the government has nationalised banks, it wants partially to privatise Royal Mail. For Lord Mandelson, that may well be the point. He is anxious that the party he helped to reform along with Mr Blair and Mr Brown does not return to its old Labourite roots. His plan for Royal Mail faithfully follows the new Labour formula in which the public realm works with, rather than against, the private sector. Even so, the government's resolve may falter. True, it could still get its way thanks to support from the Conservatives, who have already made it clear that they will back the bill. But that would present to the electorate a sorry spectacle of an end-of-term government in hock to the opposition. Despite the merits of Lord Mandelson's plan for Royal Mail, messy compromises with Labour rebels look inevitable if it is to get anywhere.